From Green 960 in San Francisco, I'm Beth Greer, and this is your Supernatural Life. This show is part of The Green Morning, heard every Saturday at 11 a.m. Pacific. My show is about taking natural living up a notch to supernatural living, and each week I interview top experts who show you ways to live a supernatural life. Well, today's show is about looking younger, feeling more vibrant, and becoming your own personal trainer and balancing your hormones. We're going to take a look at exercise and how it impacts our health. We're also going to take a look at soy, which I believed was a really, really bad food until I met my guest, Jay Williams. Jay Williams, PhD, is an exercise physiologist specializing in medical nutrition. She's the author of the book 24-Hour Turnaround and is spa director at the Mauna Lani Resort on the Big Island of Hawaii. Jay has 26 years of experience in the health and wellness industry as a consultant and an owner of health clubs and spas. She's counseled thousands of clients and is going to talk to us today about improving our health, losing weight, and reducing our biological age. Now, I've met Jay, and at 60, she looks like she's in her 40s. Honestly, when you look at her, you know she's doing something right. And I know you want to hear what she has to say. Welcome to your supernatural life, Jay.
Thank you, Beth. That was quite an introduction. I'm happy to be here and happy to be speaking with you today.
Right. So why did you title your book The 24-Hour Turnaround?
That's a really good question. My book, our workshops, and all the work that we do with people puts an emphasis on the choices, the lifestyle choices we make today, and how they can impact us in the next 24 hours. For instance, we know through the choices that we make that we can increase our energy, increase our stamina, we can elevate our moods, and we can even increase the amount of fat-burning enzymes available to our muscles. All of this determined by how we exercise today, what we eat today, the amount of sleep we get tonight, and very importantly, how we deal with stress. So that 24-hour turnaround concept is choices you make today and how they impact you in the next 24 hours.
Terrific. Now, let's talk about what you call the cure-all, which is exercise, the ultimate anti-aging formula. So many of us don't get enough of it. Not enough time, don't like to sweat, or it hurts, or it's not fun. So first, tell us, why is exercise so very important to our well-being and our health?
Well, we used to, as a population here in the United States, hang our hats on all kinds of different concepts, one of them being what we eat and how that's going to affect us. And we put all of our eggs into that basket, thinking that diet was the most important thing to our bodies. And as, you know, medicine has evolved to look at exercise, or shall I say to include exercise, we're seeing more and more through the scientific research that the exercise component is actually 50% of the equation.
So 50%. That's huge. So yeah.
50%. Uh-huh. So it's really a 50-50 proposition. It's about what we eat, you know, what we eat and what we drink and what we don't eat and don't drink. And then not only whether we exercise, but more importantly, how we exercise, the type of exercise we do and the way that we do it.
Now, you talk about something called zone training. And can you explain this technique?
Yes, Beth, this is the key, or this is what science is showing us, is become very, very specific to the result of our goal. We used to all just throw on our tennis shoes and go out the door and just have at it. And we now know, again, through a lot of scientific research done on both competitive athletes and now on us mere mortals as well, that it's the specific specificity of our exercise is going to accomplish our goals. And this concept of zone training speaks to the intensity of exercise. So if you were to come to me and say, okay, Jay, I want to reduce my weight or reduce my biological age, what would you recommend in terms of exercise? The two things, Beth, that are most important are, one, intensity, and two, duration. So we would prescribe to you intensity and duration exercise. Intensity meaning how fast your heart is beating while you're performing the exercise. Duration meaning how many minutes in a row are you performing this exercise at that very specific heart rate. So in our program, Zone Training, when you come to us and say, well, here's my goal, for instance, if you're cardiac rehab, if you just had a cardiac event and you came to us and said, what should I do? My doctor says I need to exercise. We would give you intensity and duration. We would say to you, we need you to exercise at 125 beats per minute for 15 minutes every day. So zone training is exactly that. It's specific exercise prescription depending on your goal.
I see. Now, what's wrong with like going for the burn, as Jane Fonda used to tell us, I remember, in her exercise videos? That's not in the zone, is it?
Well, it's really not. And back in the day, and I'm close to 60 myself, back in the day, the no pain, no gain attitude towards exercise was very much the philosophy. And of course, the problem is all of us baby boomers, that's the way we performed our exercise. And unfortunately, and it's more of a guy thing, you know, there's many people out there that are continuing to go to the gym, continuing with their exercise program with that attitude of going to the burn, I have to sweat a lot, no pain, no gain. Mm-hmm. And that is fine in very, very short bursts. But what we're finding now is that high-intensity exercise is actually detrimental in many ways. There's many negative consequences. And one of those consequences is actually that it accelerates the aging process, which always gets people's attention.
Yeah. Well, you just said something, though, about sweating. So you're saying that it's not really necessary to sweat that much. It's more important to sort of stay in your heart rate. Is that
exactly? Uh-huh. Exactly. Well, take this situation, for example. Okay, let's say that your choice of exercise is to get on an elliptical machine. And you're in Alaska and the temperature is very cold and the gym is air conditioned. And you get on the elliptical machine and you go to intensity number 8 and you're going at it and your heart rate is 130 beats per minute. And because it's cold and because your internal body core temperature isn't going to go as high because of the climate situation, you may not sweat. Whereas if you were in Hawaii and you were on an elliptical machine and you were on the same intensity, going at a heart rate 130 beats per minute, you might be dripping profusely. Sweating is a product of your internal core temperature trying to keep it low enough so you don't explode and die, basically. So what happens is your body core temperature is absorbed by your blood. The blood goes to small capillaries of the skin, and that is how heat is released through the skin, the largest organ of the body, and it manifests itself as sweat. So if your core temperature isn't high, you won't sweat doing the same amount of exercise.
I see. Well, if you're just joining us, this is Your Supernatural Life. I'm Beth Greer, and I'm speaking with Dr. Jay Williams, exercise physiologist and author of The 24-Hour Turnaround. We're talking about exercise and sweating and losing weight. So let's talk about losing weight. How does working in the zone, your zone training, come into play for weight loss?
Well, for weight loss, Beth, the goal in our exercise intensity is to find a heart rate that's high enough to burn a significant amount of calories, because we know the bottom line is calories in, calories out, and that's going to produce the weight loss. But we also want to be at an intensity that's going to promote a lot of oxygen being sent to the muscle cell, because the more oxygen available to the muscle cell, the higher the percentage of fat that is burned. So in other words, if you were to take your heart rate to, let's say, 150 beats per minute, you may burn a few more calories, but because there's less oxygen available to the muscle, a lesser percentage of those calories is going to be burned from fat. So we want to find that place, which we call zone one training again, where a significant amount of calories is going to be burned, but we want those calories to be burned from fat. And that's how we're going to promote weight loss through exercise.
Okay, now in your book you say exercising five times a week for half an hour isn't enough, that it has to be an hour. And I was kind of shocked to hear that, because I thought, well, wow, that's a lot of time. You know, how does the average person fit that in?
Well, good question. That's always a challenge, isn't it, in this mm-hmm. day and age where we're all booked about 120% of the day. It means maybe turning the television off a little bit earlier, maybe getting up a little bit earlier. But I think when people understand the concept of going beyond 30 minutes, it will encourage them to say, you know what, I'm going to go a little bit longer. And unfortunately, for many, many years, and again, those years were the years where all of us baby boomers, we got the word that 30 minutes a day was what we needed, and we got that from the Surgeon General. That mm-hmm. was the exercise prescription, you know, go out and exercise 30 minutes a day. But unfortunately, what he didn't put after that statement was 30 minutes a day for heart health. As women, when we put on our shoes and start to exercise, the first 7 to 8 minutes is only a period of time where our body mobilizes and starts to look for fat sources. And then as we go from 7 minutes to 30 minutes, the fat that we're burning during that time is the fat we've ingested in the last 24 hours. That's the first choice. To get to the fat that's on our hips or thighs, we have to burn through that fat that we've eaten in the last 24 hours to get into our fat stores. So as Colbert Bailey said, and that was many, many years ago in the book Fit or Fat, he said we have to go that long duration, that low-intensity, long duration is how we get to those fat stores, and we change our bodies to become leaner human beings.
I see. So you can't do like two 30-minute segments. You have to do it continuously for an hour, optimally.
It is better to do it for an hour, but there are advantages to splitting up our two sessions of exercise in that after every session of exercise, we experience what is called this afterburn from exercise, where our metabolism is actually sped up for 1 to 2 hours. And that's why going for a walk after dinner is a good thing. You know, we're getting our metabolic rate back up so that we burn calories efficiently after we eat. So the bottom line is, and this is what I tell my clients, is whatever you can do. If it's 30 minutes that you can fit in this morning, then go for the 30 minutes. Add a 10-minute walk maybe after dinner. If you can go beyond 30 minutes, you're going to get a better result in terms of burning stored fat.
Okay. Well, great. Well, we're going to take a short break, so stay right there, Jay, and we'll be right back.
Do you want to take control of your health and learn how to detoxify and recharge physically, emotionally, and spiritually? Well, get ready for this amazing opportunity as the internationally acclaimed Hippocrates Institute launches its first-ever week-long retreat program at the Mayacamas Ranch in the town of Calistoga in the beautiful Napa Valley this November. This intensive retreat includes eating organic living food in its purest form, as well as kitchen techniques and instruction, private consultations with licensed health professionals, and blood work analysis. Also included is massage, deep infrared sauna, and other healing therapies, lifestyle classes, plus exercise classes, yoga, and meditation. Space is limited, so enroll now in one or two weekly programs set for November 7th through 13th or November 14th through 20th. Call today, 561-471-8876, extension 177 for more information. That's 561-471-8876, extension 177.
So I'm grooving on this music. Anyway, welcome back, everyone. And if you're just joining us, this is Your Supernatural Life. I'm Beth Greer, and I'm speaking with Dr. Jay Williams, exercise physiologist and author of the fabulous book, The 24-Hour Turnaround. It's a really informative book, so much fabulous information. And I want to make sure we cover, you know, a couple of other things before we get into soy. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about stretching and hydration. Let's just talk about stretching. You say that it's important to warm up but not to stretch. So should we be stretching afterwards?
Exactly, Beth. You know, for many years, we were told that because we were stiff before we started to exercise, that we should stretch prior to doing our cardio or weightlifting. And we learned, actually, interestingly enough, through studies done on the Army, which is a very controlled group of guys, you know, that eat the same things, you know, do the same amount of exercise, on a very large population, thousands of guys study that the core temperature of the muscles that we use to exercise lives at about 96, 97 degrees. And in order for those soft tissue muscles, tendons, and ligaments to be able to lengthen, to safely exercise, the temperature of that soft tissue needs to be about 104 degrees. Mm-hmm. So in order to accomplish that, we need to do rhythmic contractions of those muscles to elevate that temperature before they're long enough to actually safely stretch. So in that study done in the Army, they tested, you know, the one group stretching before running and the second group stretching after, and found that the amount of injury done to those people running was far less if the stretching happened after because of the temperature of the soft tissue. So interestingly enough, that's exactly true. We want to warm up, just small range of motion, do our aerobic or weightlifting exercise, and do our major stretching after we exercise.
Uh-huh. Well, I was thinking that a good place to warm up might be on a rebounder. Do you like those?
Absolutely. Very soft on the joints, very small little range of motion muscles. We're using our quadriceps, which typically are warm, you know, after we're up and about for 5 or 6 minutes. So that's a very good place to start.
Mm-hmm. And
also very good for the lymphatic system, the rebounder.
Right. Do you like Pilates and dance?
I do like Pilates and dance. I basically, again, you know, anything that can encourage someone to move, because unless we love what we're doing, unless we love our exercise, we're not going to stick with it. So finding something that really resonates with you, and Pilates, of course, the advantage of that is that it keeps our core very strong. So mm-hmm. when we choose to do other forms of exercise, our lower back is protected.
I noticed that in your book you talk about adding some resistance, like if you're a swimmer, to add hand mitts to make it more strenuous.
Exactly. Well, here is my philosophy, and I think the best way to go back to that question you asked me of how do we fit it all in, because we know that resistance or weight training, and those two words are interchangeable, resistance or weight training, is very important to keep our muscle mass high, our muscles being our calorie burners. So how do we fit the weight training or the resistance training in with the cardio? And one way to do that is to use your muscles to elevate your heart rate to do your cardiovascular training. So if you're a swimmer, you can add hand paddles or fins, and that's going to increase the amount of muscle you use. If you're walking on the treadmill, you can raise the elevation of the treadmill so that your legs are working harder, and maybe wear some 3-pound hand irons. My motto that I use when I prescribe exercise is judge the quality of your cardiovascular exercise by how many muscles you use to elevate your heart rate.
Ah, interesting. That's interesting. So when you're walking, you want to engage your arms and every, like your glutes, not just your knees below your knees, right?
No, not just a stroll in the park, but actually use your core. Mm-hmm. Use your arms to pump, you know, keep your biceps contracted, keep your heart lifted, and squeeze your buns when you're walking and really reach that heel so you're using your hamstring as well as your quadricep.
And you talk a lot about being hydrated. You say to drink a glass of water every hour. Is that?
Well, the most efficient way to hydrate the body, especially if you're over 21 years old and you don't retain water at a cellular level very efficiently, is to keep that water coming during the day. So rather than waiting until you're thirsty, thirst being an indicator that we're 1 to 2% dehydrated, to take in water every hour on the hour, take in 4 to 8 ounces, and keep your cells well hydrated, because if you wait till you're thirsty and you wait till you're dehydrated, you're not going to burn fat efficiently when you exercise, and you're also going to, the cells of your body are going to be compromised.
Okay, now we have a few minutes left, and I really want to talk about soy, because in your book you say it should be part of our diet, and especially if we're women over 50, because it balances our hormones. And, you know, from what I've read, I've heard it's bad for the thyroid. I've had friends who were on high soy diets, and they are on thyroid medication now. I heard it blocks minerals, and it's hard to digest, and the Japanese only eat 2 tablespoons a day. So tell us, what's your take on it?
Okay, here's not just my take, but the take from the scientific community. Okay, this is not my opinion. I want to clarify that before I say anything, okay? Protein is made from building blocks called amino acids that are linked together in a chain. And of the 20 amino acids found in our body, 9 of them are essential, because they have to be consumed in the diet. The body can't make them. Soy protein is the only plant protein that is complete, because it contains all 9 essential amino acids in the right balance for your body's needs. And that's what makes soy, first of all, a great substitute for meats that are high in saturated fat or cholesterol. This whole, what shall we call it, anti-soy madness has been a very interesting dialogue that has been going on in this community of scientists and people from the dairy industry, the meat industry, the soy industry. And what I would like all listeners to realize, okay, and this is the absolute truth, is any research that has been done that is negative about soy has not used tofu or tempeh or soy milk. What has been done is they use what is called a soy isolate. That's an ingredient, a single compound ingredient from the soy plant, and the original studies were done in a petri dish. And nothing was found wrong with the soy isolate, but they then moved that study to rats. The study was done and completed on rats, and this is about 20 years ago. This is not a new controversy, trust me, okay? Nothing was found on rats, and they said, okay, well, rats aren't similar to humans. Let's do it on monkeys. So the next study that was done was, again, soy isolate. The study was all of 18 monkeys, and out of the 18 monkeys, one monkey got sick. Okay, so this alarming news got out to the scientific community that soy isolate made one monkey out of 18 sick. And that started the whole controversy of, oh my gosh, okay, well, what's all this soy consumption going to do? How is it going to affect female hormones? Doctors became wary because, of course, soy has an estrogenic effect itself. And they said, okay, well, how is this soy going to affect women that have breast cancer? Because we don't want them to have extra estrogen. So that controversy came about. And
then there's, you know, the infant formula, though, that they've shown children are not doing well.
Okay, let's talk about that, because in infant formulas, what's in infant formulas? Not whole soy. It's soy isolate.
Uh-huh, I see.
And I agree. That is the one place that I agree with those that are opposing soy, is I don't like the soy formulas. I think they're very, very bad choice to feed your children. I am and you know this because you've read my book, I am a whole foods kind of girl, and I think that any sound advice in the nutritional community is talking about eating whole foods. Right. So soybeans, tempeh, tofu are all very safe foods, especially for women, because of the effect they have. If you look at the populations that have eaten soy through the histories, they have very low incidence of breast, uterine cancer, of all the hormone cancers, very low risk prostate cancer. There are no studies, and the people that are against eating soy are the first to admit it. They feel more studies need to be done. So if you read the literature very carefully, there are no studies on whole soy that have any adverse side effects.
Okay, we got to end it there. Thank you so much, Jay Williams, for joining us today. Give our listeners your website.
My website is 24hourturnaround.com, the name of my book. So it's numeric24hourturnaround.com, and we would be happy to take any personal emails for the next 48 hours from your listeners. So if they have any questions about anything we talked about today, have them email me at jay@24hourturnaround.com.
Thanks, Jay. And thank you so much for listening today. I'd like to thank my producer, Robert Costa, and all the hosts of The Green Morning, heard here every Saturday from 9 to 12:30. For podcasts and more information on my show, visit yoursupernaturallife.com, where you can download the show on iTunes. If you'd like more information about transforming your home into a safe haven, read my book, Supernatural Home. You can find it on Amazon or on my website, supernaturalmom.com, where you can sign up for my free e-newsletter with great information on toxic-free living, plus access to all my radio podcasts. Now stay tuned for Smart Green Travel with Jerry Hart. It's a show about being consciously green. See you here next week. Remember, have a supernatural life. I'm Beth Greer.